Hallelujah. We are in a season of recovery right now. It's not our recovery. The devil has to recover what he's stolen from us. Let me tell you something. The only reason why he's not is because you're not commanding him to. By the time we get done with tonight's teaching, you're going to start commanding the devil to return. Do you know that he's your servant? Don't realize it. Because everybody gets tormented by him so much, they bow to him. But you know what? He's to serve you. Hello? You know, I was reading a book on Lester Sumrall, and he said he walked into his room. He was traveling, and he walked into, I don't know if it's a hotel room or a room he was renting or something, and he noticed that the bed had been moved, and his room had been messed up. And he looked out the window, and he saw a shadow walking by. And he opened the window, and he yelled out to the devil. He says, "You foul and clean spirit, you devil, get back in here and fix my room." And you know what? That shadow came back in his room and fixed it. You know why? He knew who he was. And so did the devil know who he was. That's powerful, isn't it? We've got to come to a point where not only are we willing to do whatever it takes, but we're willing to do whatever it takes. As for a representation and ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as the offsprings of the Anointed One in sonship and daughtership, as the express image which you are, knowing who you are in Christ, we need to command the powers of darkness to restore. To restore. You know, I want to go back to the original man. Let's go back to the original man. Go to Genesis 1. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 1. Help, Holy Spirit. Do you ever notice how the Lord sets you up? I saw my wife that today. Her and I, we were getting involved in some things, and we just realized how God just set us up for something. You know. Sometimes you think you're going to the store to buy milk, right? And there's two people you need to witness to, or whatever. No. I mean, God is always setting us up because he knows what moves us. Sometimes he puts a desire there to move us. I mean, because if he was really to tell you what you were supposed to do, you'd try and do it in your own strength. Hello? Not that he doesn't tell us sometimes what we're supposed to do in certain areas. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, would you read it with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, everyone understands that the heavens is the spiritual realm and the earth is the natural realm, right? We've discussed some of these things before. At this period of time, the spiritual and the natural realm were joined together. Amen? Okay. They were joined in unity, and the earth was inhabited by the sons of God. Amen? And in verse 2, would you read it with me? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, we know that something happened here. It could have been millions of years, billions of years, who knows? You know, between verses 1 and 2. But it was not 6,000 years. Hello. And during this period of time, there was a separation, not of the spirit realm and the natural realm, but something separated where the glory of God that was on the earth was removed. And we know that if you get the teachings of the six stages of the earth, which was actually seven, but I never got into all of that yet. Hallelujah. We'll have to do a replay one day. We find out that the separation was actually the glory of God was lifted from the earth. because the sons of God were also carrying the glory of God. Amen? In His presence. And in this state, we call it the chaotic state, because the earth had fallen, or Lucifer, the ruler, had fallen, exalted himself, and God shut down the earth. And during that period of time, it was known as a chaotic stage. The first stage is known as the original or perfect. And the second stage is known as the chaotic stage. Well, during this period of time and this separation, God decided to restore the earth. Actually, it says that, if you'll read verse 2 again with me, and it says, the earth was without form and void, darkness was on the face of the deep. We know that's where the Lord had sentenced Lucifer. That was his throne. It was no longer in the presence of God. It was in the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering. God was getting ready to do something. What He was getting ready to do was restore His glory to the earth. Does everybody understand that? And in verse 3 it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now in light, first of all, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, represents light. It also represents truth, and it also represents the glory of God, which also represents life. Life. That's why the Bible says the Spirit gives life. Amen? So we see here God was getting ready to restore His glory to the earth. Now let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we always have considered, oh, God was, we get so caught up in God restoring the earth and everything, but what His purpose was restoring His glory. That was His whole purpose, was to restore His glory. Now, I'm not going to do a teaching on the glory of the Lord because we have one. But I'm going to share something about the original man, which is important. In Psalm 19, is everybody there? Amen. Can everybody hear me now? Right. Glorious. In verses 1 through 6, would you read it with me? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge, nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for what? The sun brings what? Light, doesn't it? Light is life, isn't it? Which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, this is very powerful, because God was talking about His glory. God expressed His glory through His Son, didn't He? Amen? He also expressed His glory through His creation. Amen? But remember, I just showed you that God had taken His glory from the earth, which is known as the mountain of God at a certain period of time, when Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. So He's getting ready to restore His glory not only to the earth, but share it. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 1. And verse 26. Praise God. Let's read it. Everybody knows this by heart, right? I mean, come on. Then God said, hallelujah, I love when God said. If He said it, that's all that matters. If He said it, that's it. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now listen. Let us make man in our image and likeness. In other words, He was getting ready to express and share His glory. He's getting ready to share his glory. What did he say, image and likeness? Well, that means that the glory of God would have to be shared. Amen. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them have dominion over the what? Fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So he was now God's restoring his glory to the earth. He was going to share it with man. Man was going to be his expression of his glory and his love now. He was going to create man. He's saying, okay, you, because you're going to be in my image and likeness, you're the expression image of my glory. I'm sharing it with you. I'm sharing it with you. See, the whole thing is when we really begin to understand the original man, then when we understand why Jesus came to restore. He said, okay, now that you're in my image and my likeness and you're an expression of my glory and my character, my expression of glory and character has power and authority. You have it. You have it. Now you're little gods. When I was a little kid, my family used to call me little guy, because all of my associate family members were big guys. But not that we were God, amen, but we had the character and likeness because he gave us his glory, his power, and dominion over his creation. And creation accepted this. They acknowledged the glory, man, the original man, of having authority like God. Does everybody understand it? And acknowledge him of granted authority from God because of the glory that he was created with. Is everybody with me? Everybody all right? Pray in the Spirit then. Hallelujah. And verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. His character and divine presence or glory was being granted in creation. The original man. There it is, right there. Express image of God's glory, his love, everything Adam and Eve had. Hallelujah. They got in his presence, they were one. They were joined with him. Now the natural realm and the spirit realm was joined together. So actually Adam and Eve were able to walk on both sides, weren't they? Because of the character of God. In this state, there was fellowship. There was union. There was... God was mother and father to Adam and Eve. They were his offsprings. They shared his glory and his inheritance. And everything else that was there. What was God's inheritance? The earth. The world. The universe. It was his inheritance that he was giving to me and you. Does everybody understand that? It was his. Go to Hebrews 2. You remember when King Saul was anointed to be king, and the Lord said, and Samuel told him, man, you need to hang around with the prophet so you can become a new man. Why? So you can handle the inheritance of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 5, would you read it with me? For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place. Now wait a minute, this is an angel that's testifying. This is what an angel is saying. He says, listen, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? Now is that powerful? Now you notice him has not is not capital. He's talking about his creation. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with what? With glory and honor. This is the original man. He was crowned with glory and honor. The glory and honor of the Lord. What? The glory, the characteristic, the character, image and likeness of God, the power and the dominion. Adam and Eve were granted. See, during this period of time, as they saw man being created, the angels were like, what's going on? I mean, they're all hanging around, probably elbowing each other, or maybe winging each other. Hey, what's the King of Glory doing? What's that in his hand? It's dust. Whoa, he blew in it. Look at the glory come out of him. Wait a minute, he's sharing his glory. Why would he create such something from this earth? Wow! I mean, the angels are intrigued at what was going on at this period of time. Look, and he's sharing this. Why? Wait a minute. What's his interest in them? What's so good about them? What's happening? The angels were all around, watching this creation of man being created and God sharing his glory with them, the original man. You have, verse 7, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Well, they're a little lower than us. But man, why would he even consider them? You have crowned him with glory and honor. And set him over the works of your hands. Wait a minute. What do you see in them? You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's the original man's feet. Everything was under subjection. All creation right then and there was under the authority of Adam and Eve, because they were the expression of God's glory, his character, his power, and his dominion. And the angels, do you know the angels didn't even have that authority over God's creation? They were a part of upkeeping creation, but Adam was created to have dominion over creation. That's why they were so intrigued. Man was crowned with glory of the Lord. And verse 8 again, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. See where it says him again? Man. He left nothing that is not put under him. Everything was under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Why? Because of the fall. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, in other words, he is the second man. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, just like Adam, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom all things, and bringing many sons to what? Glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Man was created with the glory of the Lord. He fell that Jesus, but Jesus was preparation to come to restore his glory on man. Man became associated with the Godhead. Not as gods, but as highly ranked offsprings. with an eternal inheritance and dominion. Adam and Eve was God's expression of his love by sharing his glory. Now that we know that the Bible says that God doesn't share his glory with no one. That's now. That was after the fall. Because he shared his glory with Adam and he shared his glory with Eve. That's the original man. Genesis chapter 3. Is everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. Now we know that in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve bit the bait, gave it to Adam, he bit it, and so forth, and they fell. In verse 7, would you read it with me? It says, and the eyes of both of them were what? They were open to the natural realm and closed to the spirit realm, and they knew that they were what? Naked. What lifted from them? The glory of God. The almighty eternal presence. The greatest of love and purity. Power and dominion had just lifted from them. So they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. They tried to cover up their blunder. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And of course, we know that the Lord said, who told you that? The serpent deceived Eve and Adam, and they became unclothed with the glory of the Lord, causing separation from the natural realm and the spirit realm. Now listen. What had happened is once Adam and Eve had fallen into captivity, because that's exactly what happened, when the glory of God left them because of their disobedience, not only did they lose separation with the presence of God and fellowship with God, but the natural realm and the spirit realm became divided. There was no longer unity and union. You could no longer walk on both sides. There was division. Right down the line, bam. Now they were separated, no longer in unity. Amen? Now, the causing of the separation because of the fall of Adam and Eve and disobedience and fellowship with the presence of the Lord, because His glory of pure love and holiness was removed. Now listen to this. Adam once delighted in fellowshipping with the Lord, didn't he? Amen? And so did Eve. He could no longer do it anymore because he knew that his presence would kill him. That's why he ran. Does everybody understand that? Because now the glory of God would have killed him. Now, have you ever... How many times did you want to hug your children? God couldn't hug his own children anymore. Because his hug would have killed them. Because of their disobedience. Caused separation. Divided the spirit realm and the natural realm. Which is still divided to this day, isn't it? Amen. And brought separation between God and man. Which of course caused me and you to be born in darkness. It brought captivity into the natural realm or the temporary realm under the rule of the serpent, producing death with the prince of the power of air. Would you turn to Ephesians 2:2? Ephesians 2:2. Oh, hallelujah. there, verse 1 and 2, Ephesians 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the what? Prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Now check this out. This is really powerful, because when the glory of God lifted from Adam and Eve, life lifted also. Life had lifted from them, and the blood was activated. Does everybody get it? Remember, what was sustaining Adam and Eve? Amen. God's glory, His presence, wasn't it? Because the Spirit gives what? Life. So Adam and Eve were sustained in the presence of life. Purity of love. Pure, ripping love. Pure. When they had sinned, the glory lifted from them, and so did life. Now they became under the rule of the prince of the power of air, representing death. So God had to sustain them somehow. That's when the blood got activated. Is everybody with me? Thank you, Dad. Go to Leviticus 17. Is everybody all right? Leviticus 17. Glorious. Thank you, Jesus. Just a simple, short teaching tonight. To God be the glory. And Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Is everybody with me? Now remember, the glory of life lifted from them. They were now under the rule of the serpent, which is the prince of power of air, which was death. The natural and the spirit realm was divided. They lost fellowship with the Lord. They could no longer walk face to face with their father, who was also their mother. And the blood became activated to sustain them. In verse 11, will you read it with me? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So now the life of the flesh was in the blood. Right? Go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. The sustaining life, glory of God was lifted from man. The original man had fallen from its original state and put on another state. Put on another state of being now. No longer was the life of the flesh in the spirit, the life of the flesh was now in the blood. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden being concerned about tripping over something and bleeding to death when they were granted eternal life already? You got to remember, they were created for eternity. I mean, no death was a part of anything. It's not what it was about. They were created for eternity. They couldn't bleed to death because they didn't have blood. I personally believe that. Can you imagine Adam and Eve falling and tripping, bleeding to death? Well, then that wouldn't be eternal life, would it? No. Because the life of the flesh was now in the spirit. But because everything was separated, everything was divided, the original man had fallen from his state of being, something else had to sustain him. Like when you and I go underwater, can you hang out there for a while? Man, you better have some tanks with you. You're going to die. Amen? So now when you and I go into another realm or another environment like that, we need something else to sustain us, to live, don't we? Adam and Eve needed something else to sustain them in this realm now. It was called blood.
because the realm that they were in, they didn't need anything to sustain them because they were living in the sustainer. Amen. Once the glory left, the life left. It was over with. God had to do something else to sustain his children whom he loved so much because he couldn't hug them because his love would have killed them. Hallelujah. Glorious. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, and the Lord chastened his children, cursed the serpent, and Adam called his wife name Eve because she was the mother of all living, not the mother of eternity. The mother of all living now. Things changed because Daddy was the mother of all living. He was the mother of all eternity because at that period of time, everything was eternal, wasn't it? Eternal just ceased. Everything was divided. Now Daddy was on a rescue mission. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. What did he do? He killed an animal, didn't he? Skin represents, there was an animal that he had to kill. Why? Because the blood always goes before the glory. Before the Spirit, right? We know that the blood must go before the Spirit. Why? Because now the blood is making atonement so that the Spirit could have reconciliation with man. But it was not the fullness of the glory. Now the Spirit was bringing spiritual life, but not the fullness of the glory of God. That cannot happen until the two realms are rejoined. Is everybody with me? That cannot happen until the two realms are rejoined. And the only way that can happen is when this realm is burnt up. Glory. Doesn't mean Dad can't show up. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat of it and live forever in that state, which I would not allow him to because I love him too much. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed a cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. What does it do? The consuming fire represents consuming sin. So Adam and Eve wouldn't even dare get near that flaming sword because they knew they would be consumed because they were now sin. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Mother of the living, right. She was mother of the natural realm of the living, but not the eternal. God, the Father, and the Mother is the mother of eternal realm. The blood was shed in the garden to not only, it was to restore a covenant. A covenant represents a promise. Amen. If you've made a covenant or a contract with someone, it's a promise. God restored covenant through the blood. What he was saying, he's saying, listen, I'm going to make a way for you to have eternal. God was already saying, I forgive you, but you're going to have to reap what you sowed. But I'm going to make a way. But one thing I'll restore to you right now, I can't restore to you eternal life yet because the blood has got to be pure. But I can restore to you to be fruitful and multiply. But I have a plan. It's called, I have a plan called grace because I've already considered it called mercy. Amen. Amen. The shed blood restoring the covenant, the plan of promise of life before there was eternal life and God was getting ready to restore it. The blood always goes before the glory. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 3. Is everybody all right? Romans chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Now, guess who doesn't want you to know about the glory or the original man? Because he doesn't want you to know who you are, right? You know, it's amazing how, you know, the serpent acknowledged Adam. He actually acknowledged Eve, too, you know, of having them having to submit to them because it was ordained by God. So don't you think the serpent would have loved to throw out Adam and Eve out of the garden? But he didn't have the power or authority, did he? So he had to trick them. He had to go another route. In Romans chapter 3, and in verse 21, glory to God. Is everybody there? Would you, verse 21? Okay. Would you read it with me? But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have what? And fall short of the glory of God. Why? The glory that they were crowned with. Everyone has fallen short of the glory that they were crowned with. Does everybody understand that? Being justified freely by His grace, that was the plan of redemption, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Now you can understand what that was speaking about. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone keeps thinking, well, I fall short of the glory. In other words, God's plan. No, that's not what it was about. God's glory, what He's not talking about. He's talking about the glory that that Adam was crowned with in creation. That was for all men. That's what we fell short of. John 14. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John 14 and verse 6. Everybody ought to know this by now. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? And Jesus said to him, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. Now we know that the way represents the cross, which is the blood, right? The truth represents the Word of God, or what we're fighting is powers of darkness, that Jesus descended into the depths of hell to defeat the devil. And life meaning resurrected, or the glory of God. So the blood, you can see that's the tabernacle. The blood always goes before the glory. You know, that's why Jesus came in, and so did John the Baptist, came in saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was He trying to do? God was here. Remember, Jesus came as the glory of God manifested. Amen? So, Jesus was coming into the world saying, repent. Repent. Why? Because when you repent, the blood washes, and what happens? God's presence is available to me and you. Not the fullness of His glory, but His presence. Because let me share with you, if you've ever fallen into the glory of God, I love that. Everybody would love to fall in the glory of God. But I'm telling you what, your flesh can't handle it. When the glory of God hits your flesh, you look like you're having convulsions. That's why some people pass right out. and they're taken off into the spirit. Whatever. I remember one day I was in my living room and the glory of God came in the living room and I looked like I was having convulsions, flipping and flapping all over the place. I thank God my wife was there and moved the coffee table because I went flying off the coffee table. I became a holy roller in my living room. I was praying in every language that there was, as far as I knew. I mean, it changed from Indian, Chinese, Korean, Spanish, you name it. I was just ripping off in these languages. Next thing I know, the face of the Lord came in the living room and said, "Be not dismayed, I've come to dwell with you." There was nothing I could say because I was still ripping off in this other language, rolling. Now, I thank God that my wife and I just came back from a revival that we saw a lot of wild things, or she would have probably called 911. But I was changed, man, in His glory. My flesh could not handle it. Are we okay? I mean, I would look like my arms were twisted, and I mean, I was all over the place. My flesh could not handle the glory of God, but my spirit was sure enjoying it. Man, I wanted to unzip this suit and go home. But anyways, that didn't happen. Hallelujah. You know, it's wild because when this happened to me in my living room, we had put on a video from Brownsville. And I saw the glory of God hit this pastor. And that's all I thought in my mind. I heard, "That's the glory of the Lord." The next thing I know, boom, it hit me. It was like a freight train just entered the living room. And that was the horn. In verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. You better believe it. You're talking about the manifested glory of God that was just hit the earth. He just hit the earth. When He hit the earth, everything split. Everything split. Remember, let me tell you what hit the earth first, the blood. His blood hit the earth first, then He went. The blood always goes before the glory. In verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many of the saints who had fallen asleep or who were dead were raised. When the glory hit, those dead bodies came to the surface. And you got to remember, not all of them were buried. Most of them were in tombs. And some of the rocks were split, tombs were open, and all of a sudden they saw all these dead bodies all over the place. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Why? The glory of God hit them, brought them to life. But first the blood, understand this, the blood had to go before the glory. So when Jesus died, right, when He rose, He took His blood home. When He took the blood home, why? Because the Ark of the Covenant is home in the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle of God. Remember, it's in the book of Ezekiel. Now, there's a tabernacle in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. Jesus brought His own blood to the tabernacle, just like the high priest, and sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant, making sins an atonement for all mankind, not just for a nation now. That allowed God to be reconciled to His people. The veil was ripped, saying, "Okay, come home." Now the glory, remember when he saw the Lamb, when John the Baptist saw the Lamb of God, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb, the one that was going to be slain. The blood, then the glory. The blood, then the glory. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise be to God. So what was God? What's God trying to do? He's trying to restore me and you back to the original man, isn't he? That's the purpose of it. When that veil ripped, he said, come on, I'm going to restore you. The plan of grace, my plan of redemption is in action now. I'm going to restore you to the original state. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Do you think that's a mystery? Try to explain this to some kernel head. You're right. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what?
Faithful.
You and I must now, to walk in this arena, you and I must now operate from a clean position. We must operate from a clean position now to be considered faithful by God. You know, a lot of people are trying to get a lot of things, but they're not operating in a clean position. That means a pure heart, pure mind, clean hand, humbleness. Humbleness. No humbleness. You cannot even walk with God if you're not humble. God resists the proud. If you're not humble, He'll resist you. Do you understand that? It's so important. If you're relying on your knowledge, He'll resist you. If you're relying on your finances, He'll resist you. If you're relying on your position, He'll resist you. God resists the proud, but He receives the humble. That's why the Word tells us that we should be dressed in a cloak of humility. That's called operating from a clean position. If you're not operating from a clean position, you can't receive. The devil's a stealer. He's a thief and is a destroyer. He'll steal everything. Things may seem to be going okay. He's just setting you up. Just because judgment doesn't happen instantly doesn't mean you're not already set up. He's just waiting for the big kill. See, he kind of waits for, you know, people to still think they're getting away with stuff. And they're getting around other people, giving God, oh yeah, the Lord's blessed me with this, this. And oh, eventually the reaping will cease from receiving the blessings because of sowing into righteousness, sowing into the Spirit. Eventually they'll cease. Then the devil will have access and fullness and wipe everything out. That's why many people who backslide don't realize that they've been touching unclean things or that pride. God has actually resisted them, but they've been going on the bank that they've been sowing. And that bank will run out. Once that bank runs out, bam, the devil gets access and wipes them out. So as a steward, we must be faithful because we carry and declare the mystery of God. They're talking about a mystery of God right now. Like I said, how can you go to some of our family members, some of our children? How do you explain to them that God is trying to restore you to your original state?
Yeah, right.
Just like Nicodemus. Remember when he went to the Lord? He said, Lord said, you got to be born again. What did Nicodemus say? When are you going to shrink me and send me back to my mother? I mean, you know, I'll think about it. Well, because his mind was carnal. He couldn't comprehend the mysteries of God, could he? Jesus said, surely I say to you, you must be born again. He was like, what? What about his disciples that said, when Jesus said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Many of them left. I went, all right, this guy's a cult now. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. starting at verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Representation of the blood. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Because only the glory of God sustains life. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for whose glory? Our glory. Whoa, here we go. What's he want to do? Recrown you with his glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Wisdom of the Lord of glory. Ephesians chapter 1. God of glory, we give you praise. Lift you up in this holy place. Hallelujah. Now that song will be a little bit more intense. Show me your glory. Yeah, right. If he did, we'd all die. We'd all be convulsing like fish out of water. Send it! Praise God, send it. I'd rather die and be home, praise God. Have to wake up with this flesh another day. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which was reconciling covenant. Who is the guarantee of our what? Inheritance until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 24. Would you read it with me? Is everybody okay?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Would you read it with me? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. Here he talks about stewardship. From God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the what? The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whoo! Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. You probably have to go over this again to really grasp a lot of the in-depthness that the Spirit's trying to bring. In verse 24, chapter 5, is everybody there? Therefore, read it with me. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be there to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a what? Glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the body of Christ, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, we do get a glimpse of God's glory occasionally. Every Friday night, pours out a few drops of His glory. When He pours out a little bit more, we all know it. In verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, would you read it with me? But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, read this again. But we all, say we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. You are beholding the glory of the Lord. Amen. A reflection, right? Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're going from glory to glory. A little glory here, a little glory there. Changing. Going from glory to glory. Romans 8. Now, you must be a participant of this by operating from a cleansed position. Cleansed position. Of course, somebody not willing to give up the ways of the world is not going to receive it. Remember, God resists the proud. You know, it grieves the Lord that when we reject the counsel of the Lord. You know why? Because His whole desire is to hug us and love us. And what we do is we reject Him by being disobedient. Romans 8:18. Would you read it with me? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in what? Everyone say, I'm willing to suffer in this present time because of the glory that's going to be revealed in me. Hallelujah. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Why? They desire to be submissive to the original state, don't they? They want to change too. Don't they? You kidding? All creation hates. It's called corruption right now. They want to be restored back to the original state. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Why? Back to the original man. The man of glory. Ooh. Ordained by the Lord of glory. Purposed by the Father of glory. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, the fullness to be clothed with the glory. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. One more scripture. I told you a simple, short teaching tonight. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4. Claudius. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you and only you, and you get caught up in the woe is me. Hello? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Hallelujah. That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Spirit of glory and what? And the rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in everybody else's matters and business, trying to puff your own flesh up and exposing everyone else's garbage when you can't muzzle your own tongue. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of it of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Hallelujah. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. Is everybody all right? Did you get it? Yes, it's a wonderful thing that Jesus came to restore us. But there's a lot more in-depth things that He came for. He came to restore us to the original man. He so desires and loves us so much. He created man to partake of His glory. He created man to have dominion over His own creation. Or even His angels upkeep creation, but He gave man dominion over it. Think about it. That's why, you know, even the angels and us, were, even though we're divided in the from the spirit realm and the natural realm, but we're working together, aren't we? They're working together on that side. We're working together on this side. But our prayers are assisting them. Yes. Amen? Yes. Our prayers are assisting them. Not that you're praying for them, but as you're doing spiritual warfare upon the principalities and powers of darkness, you're assisting the angels of the Lord working on your behalf. In fact, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence God. So the angel of the Lord does not encamp around the proud one. As soon as we become proud for in any area, the angel of the Lord backs off. Why? Because it's the presence of God, isn't it? Isn't the angel of the Lord carrying the glory of the Lord? So they're carrying it on the other side for us, awaiting for us to get restored to the glory. So when there's sin, it separates us. But when we repent, the blood and the glory. And verse 16. Therefore we do not, what? Lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, which is about 80 years, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Oh, that goes right back to Genesis, doesn't it? For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith as stewards, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Amen? Remember, Jesus came. He was the glory of the Lord who came into the natural realm to restore us to our original state. All creation is desiring for us to be brought back to our original state of the glory of the Lord. It's powerful. Now, when you know, when you get revelation of this and it is in your spirit, because that's why the Holy Spirit is the down payment of your inheritance. Now you can start taking dominion. You can start commanding those powers of darkness because you have been restored. The only thing you're waiting for is the body. Does everybody understand that? You don't have to wait for the body to take your authority. You have been restored. As far as the powers of darkness see, you have the glory of God. You have been restored. That's why you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now you can start taking your dominion and commanding those devils and those powers of darkness to serve you. You know, I was in my office and the Holy Spirit was giving me this. And my wife was laying in the bed. She calls me on my cell phone. Yeah. And, hallelujah. And she was saying something because this mortgage company messed up all of our stuff, you know. So, you know, certain things got lost and this and that, whatever. And she was a little upset with it. I said, praise God. I said, that's all right. We're just going to take our dominion, which has been restored to us. So I prayed and I touched and agreed. I said, now can you touch and agree with me? And we commanded the powers of darkness to restore sevenfold of what they stole. Right away. And we took our authority and we commanded those powers of darkness to go out that interfered with all of this, what's going on, to restore sevenfold. They delayed money from coming to us and all kinds of things. We commanded them tonight to go out and get it and restore it sevenfold to this house in the name of Jesus. And not in 5 days or 6 days, but tomorrow. I want it back tomorrow in the name of Jesus. They have to do it. They have to do it. See, all creation is wanting direction from you. Now, if you think about all creation, are the demons created? Amen. You know, even they know. You got to understand something. Even when Jesus showed up, they were like, it's not our time yet. They know. They know that they don't have long. They know. Does everybody understand? They know. See, when you know who you are, the devil is just trying to prevent you from knowing what's been restored to you already. You don't have to take no garbage. You know, it's amazing as I start going back, I'm going, you know, as I review some of the teachings the Lord has recently given us, it's all about restoring now who we are, dominion, setting us free from the natural realm and the deception, pulling out the sword and the Holy Ghost bazooka, cutting the head off of the powers of darkness, taking our authority and calling forth confusion in the enemy's camp. But there's things that we must cooperate with. Number one, we must depart from evil. He says, don't touch anything unclean. And there's many people trying to get delivered and healed of things, but they're still holding on to them. Believe me, if you're asking to get delivered from cigarettes and have a pack in your pocket, you ain't going to get delivered. If you're trying to get rid of dope and still have stuff around the house or somewhere you got stashes this year, if you have pornography someplace, I mean, if you're still holding on to things, God's not going to deliver you. He wants for you to let go. Then he delivers. That's why some people have a hard time getting healed, because they are still in bitterness or unforgiveness, aren't they? Amen. Sometimes there's things that we haven't done correctly or whatever, and we're reaping what we sowed. Yes, God forgives us, doesn't he? Amen. But we still reap what we sow, don't we? I mean, I'd rather reap it with Jesus than without him now. Amen. At least I can repent under the blood and get restored and take dominion. Then I can go after the devil and tell him to restore to me 7 times what he stole. Just because he tricked me and deceived me doesn't mean he can get away with it. That means he lied to me, and my Father doesn't like liars. See, we got to start looking from the eyes of the Lord instead of the eyes of man. The eyes of man want to puff oneself up and accuse others. But the eyes of God wants to hug and love all of his children, no matter what they've done. Even when they're disobedient. It hurts him when his children are disobedient, because he can't love them at a close distance. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we are honored and we are blessed. Lord, your word says that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that it is the power and the glory and dominion forever and ever. Forever and ever. It's amazing, because he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the hands of the evil one. You know why? Because the devil knows. He knows. He's trying to do everything he can to get you out of position. Everything. So Lord, we just all touch and agree tonight and take authority. We call fire down from heaven on the powers of darkness. We command tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that confusion will go in the enemy's camp, because your word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. And we command that the powers of darkness return to us sevenfold what has been stolen in the name of Jesus. We command them tonight to return to us the finances, the health that has been stolen. In the name of Jesus, sevenfold, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we ask that you'll direct us where we're to pick it up. And we promise to give you all the glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.